What is going on? What's up, Brain? I'll be okay. I'll be okay. Listen. I'm not going to be here long. Make this real quick. I really honestly wasn't expecting anybody to be here because I just put this together like 10 minutes ago. So I thought I was going to get in, say my piece, get out. But Brandon, appreciate you being here. So today I am going to be talking about family. I'm not going to get into all of the nuances and specifics about family, but I'm going to talk about some things and get some things off my chest because it may be cathartic to me because there's some things that have been on my mind for at least 2 or 3 days since Wednesday. And in all actuality, this week has just been dead for me. Like, I've been back on my YouTube grind. I've been doing my YouTube thing and things were starting to go well. But for some reason this week, I could not put it together. I just couldn't muster up the things. I did half projects. I recorded some audio for some stuff. I did some video for others, but I never really put it together and did any videos. And then I got some news that kind of, I won't say shook me to my core, but it made the burnout even more intense, so to speak. So I haven't really done anything, but as with me, all it takes is that little spark, that little snap. And unfortunately, it's a new week tomorrow. And fortunately for me, it doesn't take much. And as it was, I was just cutting the grass. And for some reason, physical labor inspires me to do more. I don't get it. I don't understand it. Went cutting the grass, had a bunch of thoughts. It motivated me, got the juices flowing again. But then I came in the house and Brodney was like, hey, we didn't get hanging with Hendo last night. And that was my fault. I said I was going to do my two mandatories the next 2 weeks, but because something I have right now is just weighing so heavy on my heart, I felt like I needed to get it out, you know, so I could feel better. Even though I don't really feel bad, I'm a little more disappointed than angry, but we're going to get into this. So I have two stories for you, two stories about family, well, maybe three, but two stories that are, I guess they're all specific to me. So I'm going to give you three stories. First story I'm going to start off with is growing up in my era. Can't speak about y'all era, younger generation. I can only talk about the era that I grew up in. And the era that I grew up in was the don't talk to strangers and never believe anything that you see on the internet era. That's how we grew up. That's what we were taught. We were taught to be afraid of everything. So growing up, these are the rules that we live by. Every time we saw something, we thought it was fishy. We thought it was a scam. Kept it pushing. But I am going to say that for me, I've come to learn that family goes outside of blood. For anybody that knows me and really knows me, I have a son and I have two separate grandchildren that are not blood to me, but they are mine. You know what I'm saying? They're still mine. So I don't need DNA. I don't need my mitochondrial DNA to match somebody else's for them to be considered family. So I say this to say, through the process of YouTube and being on the internet, I met a collection of gentlemen that I consider family. I consider them brothers and a couple sisters too. But these, excuse me, are some people that I personally would do anything for. And I mean, damn near anything for. And they don't have to do anything for me. You know, I'm not big on reciprocity. I'm not big on reciprocation. Like, if I care about somebody and I love somebody, what's up, big? If I care and I love somebody, that's enough for me. I don't care what they do for me. Sometimes I don't care how they feel about me, but I will do anything for them. And I don't need anything in return. I don't need validation. I know sometimes I act like I do, but I really don't. You know, if I care about somebody, I'm just going to do for them. And that's just how I feel. And I just feel like with these group of gentlemen, I found that family and I found that home. I found my brothers and, like I said, a couple sisters. I found them and they don't need to do anything in return for me. That's just how I feel about them. So with that being said, I'm going to move on to the next two stories. The next two stories, which kind of skewed my thought process, skewed how I feel about family. Like, things have been slowly changing for me years ago. Like, there's been this transition, especially with my children. I love my children to death. I'll do anything for my children. But I saw a pattern with each and every one of them. The older that they got, the more distant that they got. And I got tired of chasing. This does count as hanging with Hendo, because this is hanging with Hendo, and that's what we're doing. So this does count. You still may get two more, but this does count. But this just be something that I really needed to get off my chest. So with all that being said, with the outside blood being family, growing up, my grandmother was the matriarch of the family, and she was the most selfless person I have ever known in my life. And I've met some really selfless people. But she is the most selfless individual that I've ever met in my life. She is the person in this life that I love the most out of anybody. I love Dream. I love Jasmine. I love AJ. I love Sid. I love all of them. But when it comes to my grandmother, I don't need a hug, bro. Don't touch me. But when it comes to my grandmother, that was my everything. That was my example in life. Like, she was the mother, the father, the grandfather, the grandmother. And she took care of everything. And she did it so selflessly without asking for anything in return. So when she passed, it was hard. Like, it had a visceral effect on me. Like, when my grandmother passed, it changed me. And you know how people tell stories, or you're in movies and you just hear people say, I don't know what happened, I just changed. And like, you see those movies where people just evil, 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 and all of a sudden they're just good, something happens. I've never been evil, but when my grandmother passed, I became an empath. I don't know why, I just became overly sensitive. Like, those corny love movies, they would get to me. I'd be sitting there watching, like, why am I feeling this way? It's weird. But you know, I fight those feelings off. I tripped over some feelings, but I'm good right now. So when she passed, like, that took everything out of me. Like, it took everything, everything. Cause she was my everything. So she had a house that I grew up in, like 30 something years. I spent growing up in this house. It's the only house I've ever known. It's the only house that she's had since we were all young. And when she passed, to this day, I have not been able to get my stuff out of the house. Like, I had some Michael Jordan signed paraphernalia, all my military stuff, all my stuff from my youth, graduation, everything. I couldn't do it. I couldn't step foot in that house. And I was okay with that. And her house, I think they boarded it up, and one of my cousins went and, you know, squatted in there for a while. Up until the end, he squatted in there, and I'm like, yo, whatever. I mean, I don't have anything to do with it. And of course, for the most part, everything when my grandmother passed was left to me. Not left to me, but left for me to do. Like, the funeral arrangements, everything. It was on me. Even though I had help, but she just, like, everything was funneled towards me. So Fast forward a couple years later, and I'm, you know, living life, what we do. So had a job I was at for 18 years. First I broke my foot. That started the ripple effect of everything that happened up until now. Broke my foot. May have still been to me one of the best things that ever happened in my life, because it put me down on, it set me on a trajectory, a different path, a different course of my life. And from there, things just happened. Lost my job. Got into a financial struggle. You know, you have no income. You hurt. You know, things happen. So I'm going through the motions of trying to find ways to get income. I'm trying to find ways to pay for bills. And a family member comes and approaches me and says, "Hey, what are you going to do with your grandmother's house?" And I'm like, "It's not my house, and it's not my burden, and it's not my problem. I'm not going to do anything with the house." And they like, "Cool, I'm going to sell the house." And I was like, "Yo, do what you need to do." Like, I couldn't care less. Like, sell the house, do your thing, keep it pushing. They're like, no, sell the house. I'm gonna hit you off with some money. And that's how we're going to do it. And I'm like, yo, honestly, this is the house that I grew up in. This is the house I spent the majority of my life on this earth in. And the person that I love the most, it belonged to her. And if I don't have it in me to go there and pick up my things, do you think I really care what happens with the house? Even in the darkest of times, like monetarily, money, and people don't really believe this, money don't move me. And I mean that shit to my heart and my core. Money don't move me. It's not the end all be all. And I, you know, you see the movies where it corrupts people. You see the movies where it makes good people do bad things. And I'm like, yo, I never wanted to be me. And I like to think I'm a good person. I think that I am. And what validates me thinking that I'm a good person is Brodney. Brodney validates me thinking that I'm a good person, because Brodney's always trying to play on my conscience. Like, he's always saying little slick stuff out of his mouth to try to get me to do things because of my conscience. So that makes me believe that I'm a good person. So when they came, like I said, I told them, I said, hey, I don't need this money. Do what you do. Keep it. Because I know how family, and I know how money gets when the two become intertwined. So nothing happened for a while. Some things popped off, and he told me, he said, "Hey, I sold the house." And I'm like, "All right, cool." And he was like, "All right, I'm gonna bring you your cut." Am I still frozen? That's somebody, I don't know. Anyway, I'm sorry. So he was like, "I'm going to bring you your cut of the money." And I'm like, "All right, whatever, cool." So in my mind, I'm thinking, cool, you know, this is going to help me get out of financial debt and I'll be okay. You know, I don't know how much it's going to be, because I don't know how much he sold dollars for. Never asked. I don't know how much he got in return. Didn't care. Because once again, like, I didn't want any parts of this, because I know how stuff can get. So he came to my house and gave me a little envelope or money. It had to be the money or whatever. And I put the money down, because I think I was doing something for YouTube at the time. So I put the money down, continued to what I was doing. And then later on, what's that?
Did you see the paper?
No, dear. Excuse me. Rude people. They don't know I'm streaming. So anyway, I did the YouTube streaming, and I came back and was like, all right, let me count to see how much money I have to put to these bills. And I counted the money, and I felt it. It was kind of light. I was like, oh man, it's not many hundreds here, but it's more than what I had. Then I counted and looked, and they were 20s. And I counted out $200. So in my mind, I'm like, yo, you sold a house, and I got $200. This is exactly why I didn't want to have anything to do with this, because I knew something like this would happen. But once again, didn't care, didn't want to be a part of it. Took the 200, kept it pushing, moved on with my life. Never had a second thought about it, because once again, this was a family member that I loved unconditionally. This is the family member I trusted with my life. This is the family member I raised, that I raised literally. And I'm like, cool. Never thought nothing of it. Then on Wednesday, I'm sitting there watching. I'm watching LBHT. Shout out Jose and Bronny. Two of the brothers that I spoke about. I sat up there watching LBHT and I'm looking. And all throughout the day, my mother had been calling me. And I'm like, this is kind of weird. Because, you know, my mother and I love my mother, but I don't really talk to my mother. I don't. We might have two conversations every 6 years, maybe every 2 years. Who knows? But she called me like 3 times in a row. And my mother calls me probably once a year on my birthday, maybe. So I'm like, what does she want? She called me a third time during the show. So I'm like, let me take this phone call. She was like, look, I need to vent to you. You know, am I able to vent? Can I talk to you? Can, like, we have a conversation? And I'm sitting there like, of course we can have a conversation. Like, what's up? And I thought somebody had hurt my mother. I thought somebody did something to my mother. So now I'm sitting here getting anxious. And I'm thinking like, yo, now I'm plotting, like, what I got to do now? But fortunately, nothing happened to her. She was just like, I'm in my feelings. I feel some kind of way. And I'm like, yo, what for? Like, what happened? She was like, what do you know about your grandmother's house getting sold? And I'm like, Now, mind you, this is a year later, year and a half later, possibly. And I'm like, he sold it. She was like, did you get any money from him? I was like, yeah, he gave me $200. She was like, well, I hear some other stuff is going on. I hear some rumblings and it's getting nasty. And I heard that they sold the house and he personally pocketed over $100,000. And me personally, I get fits of rage. I get moments of rage. Like literally as fast as you can snap your finger, that's how fast the rage goes through me. Because it'll just be like, it's gone. I have no place in my life for it. But I thought, I wasn't mad. I wasn't upset that that happened like that. I'm upset because I told you in the beginning, I didn't want anything to do with this because I knew what could happen. I knew how things were going to turn out. And for you, you'd have been better off giving me nothing. If this is true, because I can't say that it's true. But, you know, me being of above average intelligence, I know that he got more than some whatever a percentage of $200 is. I know that for a fact. But just for the simple fact that I raised you and I've always kept you close and I've done everything I could and I would do anything that I could for you, this has kind of fogged up my thought process when it comes to family. You know, I kind of had already distanced myself a little bit from my family because once my grandmother passed, like that foundation, that rope that tied everything together was no longer there. And we all kind of drifted apart. But I thought back then something could happen. I didn't think with this person. And it's sad to say, you know, I'm still trying to protect this person. But if this is true, like if this is true, and my thing is I'm never going to ask him because me personally, I don't think I'm ever get a straight answer. Like I'm never going to get a, yeah, you know, I'm sorry, you know, I kind of fucked you over, but yeah, you know, I got some change. And this, the fucked up part to me was you knew the financial situation that I was in. If this is true, you knew what was going on with me. And if you did that, knowing that I was in the situation that I was in, you know what I'm saying? Cool. Like, I ain't mad at you. I have no ill will towards you. But I don't know if we can be family. I don't know if we can be family. Because for you to turn your back on me like that in a time of need, that's not family. But yet and still, I have these strangers. I have these strangers that have gone out of their way through hell and high water for me. For me, these strangers. That's why I said in the beginning, I have family that ain't blood. Like I said, I don't think they consider me family, but I consider them family. So if this is true, like this is some nasty business. This is some nasty. And the other family member, we used to be like this. Like that was like my sister. And I hope it's not true. But you start putting pieces of the puzzle together and you see certain things from afar and you like, it could be true. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to ask him because once again, I don't want to be lied to. More than anything, okay, you can screw me over, but don't lie to me. Don't lie to me, but it's just, I feel like the foundation of family has been broken, you know, and it's hard to trust for me now, like going forward, not trust, but it's just hard for me to become emotionally connected to people. Because as, like I said earlier, I was outside cutting grass. It had me thinking about everything. Like I'm sitting here racking my mind. Like I have notebooks full of stuff of when I hit the lottery. And I said, when, not if, when I hit the lottery of people I'm hitting off. And there's some people that we probably will be like, you giving me money? And I'm like, yeah. And then I thought about it outside, just off of that, what happened this week? Just small, the smallest of things. Because I think about my neighbor. And in the 8 years of us living here, my neighbor's asked me for his help, for helps many times. And it's like, yo, we neighbors, whatever, let's go. And I've asked him for help twice. And each time that I've asked for help, he said no. And when I mean he said no, it wasn't like, let me think about it. I don't think I can do it. He just straight like, nope. And one day I asked him, I was like, yeah, I'm thinking about building a fence or something. I'm building a new fence or something to make my yard look better. You know, you want to help me out? He was like, nope, I ain't going to do it. And then later that day, he asked me to help him fix something at his house. I can't remember what. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, you are truly what you are. You are truly, because your people, y'all really like that. I thought you was different, but you really like that. And it's just sad to me. And I thought about it. And I was like, yo, if I ever came off some bread, I'm hitting some of my neighbors off just for the strength of me and my neighbors. But now I'm thinking about it and I'm like, yo, I'm not going to do it. Like, this has really skewed my view of trusting people. And I have a very small circle. My circle is really extremely small of the people that I trust. And of the people that I do trust, I'm going to say 85% of them are not blood. They're not, they have not been born into my life through family connections. And they've come into my life within the last 3 years or so. And that's a weird thing. And I have 40 plus years with these other people, or 30 plus years with some of them. And just that feeling of betrayal. I've never felt this before. I've never felt betrayed like this before. My ex-wife, she was on some other stuff, but I never felt betrayed because I knew her character. I knew what she was about. So it didn't surprise me. You know what I'm saying? Not saying she was a bad person, but I knew what she had going on. So when something popped off, it's kind of like, well, you knew that was going to happen. But with this one, with him, I didn't expect this. I didn't expect it. I really want to ask him. But once again, I don't want to be lied to. So for me now, the family dynamic is forever fractured. Now, second story. I guess third story, I guess. I'm not sure. I found out some news today. So today woke up, and for once the wife was not working. She's always working. So I'm like, you know what? Let's go to Howard County. Let's go get something to eat. We sitting down talking. And somehow we got talking about her sister. And if you don't know, her sister was the one with her daughter and grandson that came and stayed here for like 4 months. And they finally left last month, month before last, one of the months they left. And I thought that they had gotten a new place. I thought that they had moved out. So while we were eating, her sister texted her or something came up. And I was like, yo, I don't want your sister here for the holidays. I don't want none of them here ever again. They disrespected my house. They never paid me a dime, nor did they ever say thank you. And I think that's the thing that burnt my britches the most was they didn't say thank you. You staying rent-free somewhere for 4 months and you don't have it in you. You don't have the integrity enough in you to at least be like, hey, I appreciate what you did. I'm leaving. Come to find out, Tia told them they had to go. I didn't know. She kicked them out. She's like, they didn't have a place to live. But she kicked them out. And that surprised me. Really surprised me. But I think it showed me more than anything. We might be on the same page. Like, she has my back. And I think that is one rock to put back in that foundation of trusting family once again. But yet and still, I don't want the people at my house no more. You try to say I broke their turtle lamp. Broke your turtle lamp? What? You broke my house. Like, people, like, just the audacity of people. So if she hadn't put them out, they were going to continue to live here rent-free. Just the conscience of some people. I didn't break the turtle lamp. What I did was I went into that room and took out the cable box because I was returning the cable boxes. And when I took the cable box out, maybe coincidentally, the light went out because I didn't even go near the turtle cage. Second of all, why you got a turtle in my house? More importantly, why you got a turtle in my house? There's no animals in here. But I didn't break the turtle lamp. And if I'd have broke the lamp, I would have A, replaced it, or B, said something to somebody, because I'm not dirty like that. Like, I don't come in and wreck people's situations and just be like, I'll let them deal with it. That's their problem. Then I leave that for other people to do. I let karma come back and catch them. And I guess karma came back and caught them. Now you want to lie on me. Now you're homeless. See how that works out? You lie on me. Now you're homeless. I think that those things even out. No, they had a turtle in a tank with a light in it, like a fish tank with a light in it. And they said, I broke the light in the fish tank. A light that they kept on all the time. A light that they used to keep running up my gas and electricity. Yeah, that they didn't pay 1 cent for. So, you know what? I just noticed, and this is not planned. I just noticed my shirt. I used to be a people person until people ruined it. Truer words have never been spoken. I didn't even pay this no mind until I just really looked at the screen. Yes, I used to be a people person. I used to love people. And then it's gotten progressively worse. And now I can't stand people. My mother called me and was like, you'll get a kick out of this. When she called and told me the news, she's like, you'll get a kick out of this because you hate people. And I was like, yo, I don't hate people. I hate the way that people treat other people. That's what I hate. I hate how people interact with one another. I hate how people always are trying to look for an angle to get over on somebody else. That's what I hate about people. I don't hate people in general because we all need companionship and affection. It's just that I don't appreciate the way that we go about these things. And I was not taught this. And this all comes back to my grandmother. This all comes back to that rock, that first stone that was placed in the foundation, which became our family. So she taught us, don't treat people like that. Now, granted, I'm not going to hold you. I'm not going to even lie. I think up until like I was 5 or 6, my grandma was evil. My grandma was evil. I remember she chased my cousin. My cousin tried to jump out the upstairs window, like my grandmother. But then something happened, and I guess it all happens. You know what I'm saying? I guess it all happens when you become a grandparent, I guess. Because I had some of it in me. I had some of her. You know, I had that, I had that in me for a while. But then one day, I promise you, I still remember the day, and it's crazy. I was beating Jasmine. I gave Jasmine a beating. What's up, Reg? She did something. Like, y'all think my daughter Jazz is so sweet. Like, Jazz is conniving. Like, Jasmine, like, she had some stuff with her. So I was beating Jasmine, and I will say, sometimes I may have gone a little too far with it. But the one day that I beat her, well, I started to beat her, and AJ was in the bed with her. AJ at the time had to have been like 4. Had to be like 4 years old, and the look of fear in his eyes. As I was beating her, I looked at him and was like, I'll never want anybody to look at me and fear me in that way ever again. And after that day, I stopped beating my kids. Even though they deserved it. They deserved the ass whipping many a time. I stopped beating my kids, and it just, something, that switch was just flipped. And then I think I became my grandmother. And I think I went from being too harsh to too nice. So, yeah. But yes, the notion of family to me now is dead. Whether this story is true or not, it is true to some degree. Now, granted, he may not have gotten 100K, but I guarantee you he got at least 10. You know what I'm saying? It hurts. It hurts a little, but I'm more, like I said, I'm more disappointed in all of this. That I raised somebody. Like, I mean, when I say raise them, you know how some people are like, yeah, I raised that kid. And they just like, yo, they was around in the house. Nah, I mean, I raised this kid. I mean, yeah, but my thing is, why involve me? That's my big question. Why involve me? I told you from the jump, I don't want anything to do with this. You selling the house? Cool. Go do it. Get your money. I don't give a damn if you get $1 million off of it. Get your money. Whatever. I don't want to have nothing to do with it. Because I know you see in the movies and people think that it's just the movies, but the movies are based on actual events that actually happened. And for me, that's what hurts the most, is I didn't want any involvement in this. So if I heard that later on and we never had a conversation and he never gave me any money and I heard like, yo, he got 100K, cool. Good for him. I hope he did put it to good use. But for you to slap me in my face with $200, I bet if I ask him, he'd be like, oh, I thought I gave you more. No, you listen. You know what a handful of 20s look like. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, B. That's what I'm saying, bro. Like, you get that much money and you hand somebody $200. Like, so this takes me back to a story when I worked for the cable company. And this is when I first started out. And I'll never forget this. I think it was in my first, this had to be like 2000, before 2010, had to be before 2010. And this was back in the days where we worked, where I worked, like 15, 16 hour days. And one night I was out in Murrayville at this house, gigantic, ginormous house. House was huge. I'm like, oh, this house is worth at least $3 million. And I hate to say this, but there's a black family living there. And the grandmother was there. So you know me, I'm impartial to this. If they left the grandmother home by themselves, you know what I'm saying? Whatever she did is done. So that TV wasn't getting certain channels. I still remember this to this day. This had to have been almost 20 years ago. So the TV wasn't working. I go and I look and I'm like this. Bam. I don't even have to fix anything. I can tell you what your problem is. Your problem is that cheap cord that you bought from Radio Shack is not allowing the frequencies to go through that you need to get the channels up. And the lady's like, that's it? I'm like, yes, let me go get some cable. I'll be right back. Bop, 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 bop. Bam. 5 minutes, I'm in, I'm out. Channels coming in, everything's working perfectly. This had to been like 2:30 in the afternoon, 3:00 in the afternoon, 2:33 in the afternoon. Finish my route out. I get done. I'm picking up work. It's now at least 9:30 p.m. I get a phone call from dispatch. They're like, yo, you need to go back to the house out in Murrayville. They say they still having problems. And I'm like, impossible. They can't be having problems, but fine. And by this time, I was all the way on the other side of Baltimore. So I drive all the way back over there. I'm like, man, what happened? Box die? What happened? So by the time I got there, it's a bunch of cars in the driveway. And I'm like, oh, the son's home and the family's home. I come inside and he like, see, the channel's not working. I look down, it's like, you put the cord back. Yeah, but the guy at Radio Shack told me this is the best cable to have. I said, sir, you look very intelligent. It works with this cord. It doesn't work with this cord, but I paid so much for this cord. Couldn't care less what you paid for it. If it worked with this one and doesn't with this one, what is that telling you? Like, just common sense. He's like, that cord ain't no good. I'm like, yeah. He's like, man, I brought you all the way back out here for that. I'm like, yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. So I'm like, but it's not a problem. Like, it is what it is. So I'm packing my stuff up. I'm getting ready to leave. Lie to you not, $3 million home. Lie to you not. He's like, man, I feel. Yes, he had him. He got it with the gold plated. They got it with the gold plated with the blue jacket. So he's like, man, I feel so bad about this, man. Like, you had to come all the way out here. It took you like 40 minutes to get here. And it was some dumb stuff that I did. I'm like, you know what? It's cool. It happens. It's happened before. It's going to happen again. No worries. I get packed my stuff up and get ready to go out. He like, nah, man. I got to give you something. You coming back out. And I'm like, you don't have to. Like, yo, it is what it is. It's my job. Yo, I lied to you not. I promise you on everything. $3 million house. This motherfucker gave me two $1 bills. And in my 18 years at Comcast, I can remember maybe two times that I've been unprofessional in 18 years. And that time was one. Because I looked at him and was like, you might as well keep that. Because I don't know what you think that's going to do. I got so upset. Like, yo, you live in this house. Oh, no, that's not why I got upset. I'm sorry. That's not why I got upset. I got upset because I was like, nah, you good. You don't have to do that. Whatever. Soon as he's trying to hand me the $2, his wife comes down the steps and is like, did he fix the issue? He's like, yeah, you know, it was us. It's something we did. She said, oh, cool. Well, since we got you here, I need you to go around programming these remotes to all the TVs. I said, excuse me. She's like, yeah, we got these brand new remotes that we got from Best Buy. I need you to program it to all the TVs. I said, that's not my job. But you here, so you might as well do them. And my husband just gave you a tip. That's why I went off. That's why I was like, you might as well keep that $2. And no, I did not go Chinese delivery guy on him, Brodney. You are in a $2 million house, $3 million house. You're in a $3 million house. And I'm not saying that where your location and how much you pay for a house determines the tip that you give. But the thing is, you have money. It's apparent that you have money. And I'm at your house because of a mistake that you made. You were better off not offering me anything. You were better off offering me some vitamin water like Mark Clayton did. You know what I'm saying? You've been better off with that. Like, even if you'd have been like, bro, I apologize. I'm sorry. I'm good with it. Because when I'm in work mode. Like, I don't think about anything outside of it. I'm like, yo, get the job done. Get to the next one. So if he'd have been like, you know what? My bad. I apologize. Cool. I'd have got my van and went to the next job or went home, whatever happened after that. But for you to pull out two $1 bills, and not only... So it's not like it's one thing for somebody to like, oh man, let me just give you a tip and dig in their pocket and hand you two $1 bills. But when somebody opens their wallet, you physically open your wallet and count through the cash and then pull out two $1 bills. That's intentional. That's intentional. That's intentional disrespect. So no, you keep that shit. You know what I mean? I mean, I ain't to that, but I'm just like, yo. And you insult me with that, but on top of you insult me with that, your wife now thinks that I'm obligated to do work around your house? Like, that's not how this works. And that's why I will say, I've worked in some multicultural neighborhoods. Let's just say I've worked in multicultural neighborhoods. And the biggest problems I've ever had in 18 years always came from middle-aged Black women. Always. I've even had polite racists, very polite, decent conversations. It's always the middle-aged Black women that I've always had an issue with, feeling like I owed them something. You know what I'm saying? And that's the disrespect. But those are my stories. You know what I'm saying? I think I need to go back out and finish cutting the grass. But I just felt like I had to get this off my chest because it was eating me up. And I think this is also another reason why I wasn't really productive this week in making the videos that I made. But yeah, I mean, it feels good to say it to somebody instead of holding it all in and building up that resentment. Because that was my man. That was my guy. That's my guy. I guess he was. Because once again, I don't know if it's true or not. I know some of it is true. I don't know if all of it is true. But I don't know. Let me call my uncle. Let me see if I still have my uncle's phone number. Because apparently they tried to bribe him with a cruise. Listen, if I told y'all the ins and outs of the story, I swear to y'all, y'all would be like, this is a movie. You're writing a movie. You're putting together a script. If I told you everything that happened, I might have to tell y'all privately, because if I plan on releasing this episode to the public, I can't put that in, because it just makes people look so bad. I can't believe some of the things that I heard. I need to call my uncle and find out if it's really true. Let me see if I still got his phone number. All right, Ron Love. Wait. Ah, I have one of his numbers. Call him and see what's going on. So I appreciate y'all for hanging out with me. I honestly did not think that y'all were going to come out here. And I appreciate y'all as well. I thought I was going to be here by myself, get through my story, and keep it pushing. You know what I'm saying? If I write the script, they're going to be like, yo, we've seen this before. I'm going to write the script. But one of the things that was told to me, I can't believe it. I honestly can't believe it, that somebody would put those wheels into motion and the other person would be stupid enough to fall for it. Like, I can't believe it. But listen, I'm about to call my uncle and verify some of this stuff. So once again, I appreciate y'all for hanging out with me. This does count with hanging with Hendo. So I only owe y'all one more for the month. Uno. Bro, I got stories for days, bro. I mean, maybe I'll do a story time and tell some stories from the past. But as far as hanging with Hendo goes, this is one down for the month of April. So until next time, we'll see what happens.